Today we're talking to Francis Cosway on future-proofing your home. Francis is an accomplished and in-demand interior designer, a published author, and a speaker on beautiful homes for people to live in. She's written the book Your Forever Home. Welcome, Francis.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me on the show today.
A pleasure. So when we talk about future-proofing your home design, that's a term that a lot of people wouldn't have heard before. Perhaps you could cover what is future-proofing and why is it so important in doing that with your home design?
Sure, no problem. Look, future-proofing is really making sure that your home is going to be adaptable and flexible as your family's requirements and needs change over time. So generally it's when people are, you know, spending a great amount of time and money in building their home that they envisage being in for maybe 10, 15 or more years. And as our requirements change, either as a couple or as a young family, and as our children get older and our circumstances change, we need to make sure that our home is future-proofed so that it is actually flexible and enables you to basically stay in your home longer because it's adaptable. And it's such a shame if you are spending so much time and effort on creating a home that you plan on being in for such a long time and it's not fulfilling your requirements anymore, you have to end up moving. And that's why I think future-proofing is so critical right at the start.
So what are the key areas to consider when you future-proof your home?
Okay, so I think the most critical area is the floor plan. And this is often an area where people are so keen to start building or renovating that they sort of go, yeah, look, that's great, and they're not really getting into the finicky detail to make sure the floor plan's right. And it's difficult to change. So I really encourage people to spend the time and the effort in getting the experts involved at the floor plan stage. So some things to consider to future-proof it would be zoning. Zoning from a privacy perspective and areas for people to retreat to, different people within the home retreating to different zoned areas. Places that are able, when you get older, that the home is actually working for you when you're older. And also, probably a key point is creating rooms with doors because that creates such flexibility in what that space can be.
That's interesting because the plans of today's home are more open design.
They are. And look, I'm certainly not saying don't have an open plan home. I suppose my point would be more around have that open plan because that's how we live as Australians. We have that wonderful seamless flow between inside and outside. The kitchen is the hub of the home. But what I am saying is create areas where people in the family can actually retreat to and create another ambience within a space. So, for example, a second living room that's perhaps carpeted that can be like a winter retreat or, you know, a room that people can go and just relax in and maybe read or play a musical instrument. But there's areas that you need to be able to have a different experience in and not just hang out in the open plan area. So that's what I find is most critical. And also looking at things like, sustainability. It's difficult to incorporate those things like underground water tanks, insulation and air tightness once the house is built. And that's future-proofing you for energy efficiency and watching your bills. And then also lighting and creating different scenarios within a space.
Where do windows fit into the picture? Because obviously a lot of heat is lost through glass.
Exactly.
So how do they fit into the picture in future-proofing?
Really, really important, and I'm glad that you've raised the window point. Look, they're one of the most expensive items for the home. They're difficult to retrofit, so you need to get it right. So it's not just about the release of energy. That's definitely a key thing, and double glazing assists with that. But it's also about creating comfort all year round, both in summer and winter. So sun management is really critical. So the future-proofing point here is making sure that your windows are going to be managing the harsh summer sun. So really looking at your western and your northern glazing. And before you actually start building, thinking about how are you going to manage the sun, that western sun, that's going to make your house a hot box because the heat transfer, as you said, heat, you get heat loss, but in summer you get heat gain. for either minimising your west-facing glazing or working out in advance how am I going to manage the sun from an external perspective. Large eaves, a sunshade, big louvers, and also a deciduous trees or external blinds are ways that you can actually manage the sun. But this is another thing that needs to be looked at well in advance to make sure that you're creating a home that's comfortable all year round with a minimum use of artificial energy.
So does that mean that when someone's looking at a block of land in which they're going to build their future home, that the direction in which the block faces is critical?
Critical. And it's quite interesting. I've seen a lot of media around at the moment with regards to people choosing their home first and then getting the site, and it actually should be the other way around. And the house should be designed based on the site. So, for example, if you're facing west in the back garden, you need to, obviously, that's where you want to have your home integrating with the outdoors. So you need to work out how you will manage that sun with your landscaping, or do you need to have a really big alfresco roof on there so that you're minimising the amount of sun that's heating up the house. But on the flip side, making sure that you're getting that warm winter sun coming in during winter for the site is absolutely critical, David.
Most people these days, let me rephrase that. You see a lot of two-story homes, and as people get older, they suffer with knees and hips and the like. So when a person's building a two-story home, how do you look at that from a future-proofing? That's to be a family home for a long, long time. That's quite an important element, isn't it?
Absolutely. And what's happening now is as people realise, well, they're spending so much money on their home that they do plan to be in for a long time, the master bedroom downstairs is now almost seen as a given. And you'll see a lot of, even the volume builders, or instead of having the master bedroom upstairs, they're having it downstairs, or they're actually having, quite extravagantly, two master suites, one upstairs and one downstairs. But what that means is that you're ultimately able to have all the key areas in the home, your kitchen, your bathroom and your bedroom on one level. So that means that you're able to stay in that home longer. And I always sort of make the joke that if you've got the master bedroom downstairs, you can also monitor the comings and goings of teenage children through the front door, which is a bit of a bonus.
But
true. That is, you know, really important. And people are actually seeking out, I've been speaking to real estate agents, that master bedroom downstairs for that reason. If the view's upstairs, you just need to make sure you've got a lift. But the other thing to consider for when you get older and incorporating in the floor plan early on to future-proof are things like having showers without a shower base, so a completely tiled floor, so it's step-free. These days we are having separate showers rather than the shower over the bath, which makes it much easier for when you're older. But even if something happens and people are temporarily in a wheelchair, having that wheelchair access in and out of a shower is really important. So not having a door, having an opening that, if space permits, minimum 800 millimetres wide, so that a wheelchair can actually come into that shower space. And also having doors that open outwards. I had a client who was very aware of the wheelchair access, and she wanted to make the powder room wheelchair friendly. And of course, the door was opening into that space. And what that meant was the wheelchair really couldn't get in there and have the ability to close the door. So we just had the door opening outwards, which is what they do in Europe as a matter of course, because they're so used to future-proofing and creating functionality. And hallway access, I suppose, David, would be the last thing. Having a hallway that's about 1.1 metres wide so that you can have that flow of a wheelchair going up and down. So it's really looking at all the possible different scenarios and making your house adaptable.
Yeah, that's an interesting area. We live in a two-story home. I remember Dr. John Tikal said if you live in a two-story home, you're fitter than people who live on in a single-story home. But we were looking at bringing my mother down to possibly live with us, and her ability to get up and down stairs is not good. So we looked at whether we could put a lift or a a stair lift or an actual vertical lift, and it's a difficult thing if you haven't given it some thought right at the beginning.
Absolutely, and it is really costly as well. I mean, lifts are tens of thousands of dollars. It's not a cheap exercise, but if you plan on being in the home for 20 years, it's probably an investment that's worth it. But it's certainly difficult to retrofit because you need that big area to put the lift in. So Correct. From the outset, it's probably easier to have the bedroom, the master bedroom downstairs. But going back to my other point around having, you know, a second living, for example, that's got cavity sliding doors that enables that space to be open when you want it to feel spacious, but enabling you to close it off. You know, in your scenario, that could have been another bedroom. But if you, a lot of these rooms are designed, all these floor plans are designed with all these big open spaces, even second and third living spaces, they've got no doors, they're just big archways, so you can't create any sort of privacy, which means you lose the flexibility on what that room can become. So I always encourage cavity sliding doors, create a sense of space when they're open, but if you need to turn that room into something else, a study, a spare room, a second living room, you just have to close the doors and you've got it, and you can just heat and cool that space in isolation of the rest of the house. So that may have been a solution for your mother-in-law.
Correct. What's your top tip for someone who is about to build their new home or even renovate?
Look, my top tip would be engage the experts early. Whether or not you're going to execute on that plan straight away, it doesn't matter, but have the holistic plan done up front. And what I mean by that is your architect, obviously, your landscape gardener, your interior designer, your sustainability expert. Have these specialists involved from the start. And a lot of people will build and they run out of money and they can't do the landscaping. It's a common thing. But if you've got the plan and you execute on that over time, at least you know that everything has been looked at as a whole. The entire site has been looked at as a whole, not just the house, and it's all integrated. For example, if you've got the landscaper involved up front, he may see that there's a beautiful spot to put a garden feature and you could have a door opening out into that area. But if that's not considered early on, you may have a window there, and what a shame that would be once you've got this stunning space you could walk out into if it was thought about up front. So get them all involved right at the start would be my top tip.
Wonderful. And Frances, where can people get assistance if they need help in the future with their new home or renovation?
Okay, so the Alternative Technology Association of Australia, otherwise known as the ATA, is a fabulous resource for not only creating energy efficiency, but just got incredible information on there, and that's actually a not-for-profit. Passive House Australia is a great website as well for finding a sustainability expert and getting some really good information on energy efficiency. HAUZ, H-A-U-Z-Z, is a great resource for visual ideas. There's lots of homes and interiors on there. My website, I've got a lot of blogs about renovating and building, White Pebble Interiors, so there's lots of blog posts on there. And you're also able to download the free chapter of my book, Your Forever Home, from that website as well. So there's four resources for listeners to go to.
Wonderful. Frances, we'd like to thank you for being with us today. Frances Cosway from White Pebble Interiors. And Frances is appearing at the Rotary Club of Chelsea's meeting on the 4th of September at the Chelsea Long Beach RSL at Thames Promenade in Chelsea, 6:30 for 6:45. And anyone who'd like to book can go to the Chelsea Rotary website, or they can phone Kevin Harrison on 0407 772 225. Thanks again for being with us today, Frances.
Thank you, David. I look forward to seeing you on the 4th.